Okay, you're going to record the frog in my throat as well. So there are, Iggy has funding for 120 PhD students. There are about 50, 60 active PhD students at any given moment in time. We're at full size now. And we'll be recruiting 12 or possibly slightly more than 12 PhD students on fully funded studentships in 2023. The stats are big as well. So there's a fairly big admin team. You can see about a third of the admin team here. So there's lots of people in different roles. I'm not going to go through all of those. And we get on well. We're pretty good fun. I've done lots of big projects, but this is definitely my favorite. We have about 100 industry partners. Yeah, so the games industry is populated very largely by small and medium-sized companies. And so most of our partners are smaller game studios. And actually, I think with all due respect to, you know, Sony and Microsoft and Square Enix and Creative Assembly, who are our big partners and some others that I've not named, sometimes the creative spark of research comes more naturally from a small company that's willing to take a risk in terms of its content. So Iggy's big, and I'll say a little bit more about that in a second. The scope of Iggy, so Iggy stands for, sorry, you can see my hands moving around in an unusual way, but my dog needs a stroke, otherwise she'll start jumping up again. IGGY stands for IG, which is Intelligent Games. So the Intelligent Games part is about creating, inventing new technology, which is hopefully going to be relevant to the commercial games industry, very, very broadly interpreted. And GI is Game Intelligence, which is about looking at games in a different way. For example, as things that we could use in research or use in healthcare applications or and so on. So we have, excuse me, I've got a big frog in my throat this morning. So we have the constraints then, if you like, that your application needs to be in that area of games, yeah? So if you work in machine learning research and you think, oh, if I do my reinforcement learning proposal and I'll put the word games in three times, then that'll be fine. It won't. Yeah, we'll spot that and it won't work. So unless you see games as a central part of what you do, then Iggy isn't the program for you. Yeah. All of our people, they're not all passionate game players, but they're all passionate about the use of games in their PhD research. So two other specific examples, because the other constraint that we have is that we're funded by the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. So all of our projects must be more than 50% engineering and physical sciences. Now, I'm not going to go into the definition of that, but for example, if your proposed idea was principally psychology and not principally human-computer interaction, again, you're just out of scope for EPSRC. So we couldn't accept a proposal in that area. If your proposal is principally art, then you would need engineering or science, more than 50% engineering or science. So I can give specific examples there maybe. So we have, for example, a project which is about understanding player opinion at scale, excuse me, through using questionnaires. So it's a kind of psychology questionnaires proposal in a way, but it's very much tailored to games and the games industry and to human-computer interaction in that case. And we have another proposal, which is about physical realizations of games using plant life as an agent within the game, specifically moss. And in that case, the technology of creating a virtual plant it makes this thing a piece of science and engineering. Okay, so if you want to understand, I don't know, theory of self, fine, but it's going to have to be in the context of human-computer interaction and in the context of games, yeah? Otherwise, you're just out of scope for us, okay? We're not looking to push our scope, yeah? In past years we have, we're not looking to push that. Okay, and then, yes, yeah, so I haven't said the most important thing about my role. Okay, so the great thing about my role is it's not primarily operational. Yeah, so I do concern myself with the operations because they're important, but some of the other people here are brilliant at managing the operations. Yeah, so I get to concern myself with the kind of the big ideas side, yeah, with understanding the bigger picture of how Iggy fits in. And in terms of your proposal, the issue there is the thing I want to talk about here is the spark, yeah? So what's the thing about a proposal, an application to Iggy, that puts it, because I imagine you're all pretty brilliant. You've all got, you know, industry experience and good degrees, and maybe you've written a game or two, or certainly written some software or created a portfolio in some area. You know, I imagine you're all really quite brilliant. Otherwise, well, I imagine you all are. And so what's the extra spark? Well, let me try and define it in a number of different ways. I'll talk about the spark in one specific way in a second, but we want people that are curious. Yeah. So if I'm a supervisor, I'm going to give up, I don't know, let's say 40 times 1.5 hours, 60 hours a year for 4 years to you, 240 hours of my life, yeah? And more by the time I've read all your work and so on, maybe it's 400 hours of my life. I want it to be interesting, yeah? I want to see people that are curious, that are interested in the world, in their ideas, in people that have a passion, yeah? And I don't mean that in the Hollywood way, you know, so because we've all seen the Hollywood movies, we know what passion looks like in the Hollywood movies. I'm not talking about that. Some of the most passionate people that I know are not necessarily those outgoing, chatty people like I am, I suppose, but I'm the Iggy director, so that's not so surprising. Yeah, they're people who strongly, you know, they see the beauty in a piece of machine learning. They see the fantastic result of working with a child using a game to teach them language or to teach them about their own psychology. I'm going to use the word beauty again because I'm sorry, adjectives, of a piece of art that was created indirectly by a machine learning that was trained on human created art. You know, so it's not that the passion has to be, it can be, it doesn't have to be a save the world passion or a hugs in the corridors passion, or, you know, it can be something which is a bit more geeky than that. Of course, it doesn't have to be. It can be that first type of passion. And we're looking for people who are good listeners. Yeah, we want you to be able to listen. So if I'm going to spend 400 hours of my life with you, I want to know that you're actually going to listen to what I say. We want people to ask questions. So I'm just doing a little time check to myself here. Yes, I'm doing okay. And challenge us, yeah? We don't know everything. The point of you being here as a researcher to find out new ideas is that you will challenge your supervisor and the other students on Iggy, the other researchers on Iggy. And we also want team players, yeah? We're a big program. We have social events and we want people who are going to organize social events and look after the other students and you know, recognize in a program with 60 PhD researchers, on any given day, there's going to be a few of them having a bad one. Yeah. So we also want that sort of empathy, that compassion. And we want people who are going to reach out, yeah, who are going to tell the world about their research, who are going to go into schools and enthuse the next generation of PhD researchers, who are going to blog and vlog and tell the world, and not simply do research which sits on a dusty shelf somewhere. And then in terms of your actual application, the written document of your application, well, first of all, you should be talking to a supervisor. Yeah, you need to locate that supervisor early in the application. Yeah, if you've not done that yet, you need to do that now. I don't know. So what sometimes happens when I say that is tons and tons of people reach out to me. I'm only going to be interested in students in one very particular project, yeah, which you can find online. So don't reach out to me unless you're interested in that project. Okay. But there are many, many supervisors. Sorry, that's a stat I didn't give. There's about 60 supervisors across the IGI program. So you will find a supervisor in your area, or you should. So reach out and find a supervisor. And then the research spark, I think the greatest way in which we test that research spark is by asking you to write a research proposal, yeah, a short research proposal. So can you first of all, can you articulate an interesting area of investigation? You know, it will be really interesting to look at, and I'm not going to fill in the gap there, you know, whatever your thing is. And then in your application, to not just do that, but to give some flavor of the research questions that you would investigate and the methodology that you would use to investigate them. And also to have demonstrated the fact that you've done a bit of reading, yeah, you've not just kind of read the standard textbook in your area, but you've actually read some academic papers and some other books and works to formulate that. So I think that's the biggest single differentiator. Yeah. So you know, and you also have to get a supervisor excited about your research. Yeah. Rare that we accept somebody onto the IGI program who hasn't yet engaged the supervisor. I think it's happened once or twice. Yeah. So you need a supervisor. And then many of you here will be really good at exams. Yeah. And so being good at exams, it's great. It means you have a strong CV and you'll have good a good degree and good A levels and so on. But this is not the same skill. Yeah, really not the same skill. Being good at exams means that if I pose a tightly defined problem, issue, essay title, you can write the essay, you can solve the problem. But here, the question that I'm asking is really, can you design the question? Yeah. Yeah, solving the problem is obviously part of that. Yeah, you don't want to just design questions and never answer them. But can you design a good question? And I think that's the single biggest differentiator. Yeah, so between applications. There are some supervisor-led projects which you'll find online. Those are vague statements of an area of interest to a particular supervisor. And in each of those cases, you would still be basically compiling the research proposal yourself, yeah? And of course, your supervisor can help, yeah? They won't go too far, they shouldn't go too far. You know, the idea is that it's your application, but they can help a bit. And if you propose, a particular topic and then you decide at some later stage that topic isn't the right topic for you, that's fine, that's absolutely fine. Once you're on the program, as long as your project stays within scope and it's convincing that you will complete within the 4 years, you can pivot, Yeah, that's fine. I mean, don't do that deliberately. You know, say something that you think you will do, but you can pivot later. And for example, I pivoted in my own PhD. I did 1 year of one topic. And then when it seemed like that really wasn't going anywhere, I pivoted. Okay, and the other thing is thinking about those members of the games industry, broadly interpreted, who might be interested in your research. Yes, so don't be too vacuous about that, you know. So my research involves world building, so I'll talk to Microsoft because they have Minecraft. Yeah, okay, but that's not too much imagination. I came up with that off the cuff right now. Yeah, there are resources like UK Games Map and other resources that allow you to identify companies that might be interested in your area, and you might even reach out to them and see whether they were interested. Okay, and of course, for some projects, Minecraft and Microsoft is the ideal partner. I'm not saying that won't sometimes be the case. Okay, how am I doing for time? Not so well. Okay, so the other area, I'm going to skip a few areas here, but the other area I want to talk about is diversity. Yes, so I mean, I'm a white, middle-class, middle-aged man. If I didn't recognize the privileged position that puts me in, then I'm part of the problem, really. We are working hard to make sure that our student cohort represents the population of the UK, and indeed ideally overrepresents groups that would otherwise be underrepresented. So if I start to list the axes of diversity, then I'm going to get some of them wrong, but we are particularly interested in having diversity in terms of gender, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of disability, and particularly one for me in terms of parental income. Yeah, the world has changed since I was doing a PhD, when my low parental income wasn't such a big bar to entry into a PhD program. And now I recognize that it is, yes? Yeah? So if you are there as a white man who went to a public school and then to Oxford, then that's fine. You know, I'm not saying we will discriminate against you, but what I'm saying is we'll recognize that you have advantages over somebody who isn't in that ethnic group. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to say any more, because otherwise we'll run out of time for questions. So let me stop there and ask if there are any questions. You can put questions in the chat, or there's a document. Has anybody put questions in there?
No, they haven't, Peter. I'll share that link again.
Hello. Is there any sort of requirement for... for example, my thought would be games research with children with autism, for example. Is there some type of overlap that is acceptable with, like, the healthcare and then games for serious games, or?
Yeah, absolutely. So the issue with a project of that type will be the obviously you're clearly in games. Yeah, you have no problem in terms of satisfying that requirement. So the issue is in science and engineering. So you would have to be developing or investigating technology. Yeah, so the most obvious area that you would be sort of linking with is human-computer interaction. And obviously the autistic people that you'll be engaging are the human side of that. And then the interaction with the computer systems, that should put you in scope, yeah? So if you're investigating a commercial game, and you're basically doing a psychology project, that might put you outside. But if you're interested, for example, in building your own games or tailoring games and investigating the sort of the technology of games in that, then that will be human-computer interaction, and that will be in scope.
Okay, yeah, because I'm currently in Abertay University for my improv for games development, and I'm specifically the artist. So, but I have, you know, a broader interest in games and their interaction with autistic children, because my son is autistic. So,
okay. I mean, it sounds like you're well motivated for that project, and we certainly have projects related to that project. Where people are using games for things like, I've just been teaching a class where one of the students was games for language learning. So long as you step over that 50% line in terms of science and engineering research, then I'll send a link to Tracy, which helps to clarify that. But we're not trying to exclude people, if you like. Yeah, we're trying to include people, and that sounds like a fascinating topic and one that would be welcome. It's just that we don't want to put ourselves in a position where the Research Funding Council says we want our money back because this is not something that we fund. But I suspect, sorry, Joy, I'm being very positive and negative. I'm being very bittersweet here. I suspect that so long as your proposal is couched in terms of human-computer interaction and your population of humans there is autistic children, then I think you'd be fine.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter. There are a couple of questions in the chat now.
So, Darren, I'm just looking at your question here. So I suspect that the issue is one of pragmatism here. Yes, so you simply, in order to do a PhD, you need to be capable of doing a PhD. I think that universities are remarkably good at making adjustments and providing equipment and specialists. I think that the universities would do all that they can to ensure that you weren't discriminated against because of a disability. And then really you would have to convince us that in spite of the disabilities that you have, I can't see a mobility being an issue at all around universities. They're very, very good in terms of getting around on wheelchairs and so on. But you would just have to be able to convince us that you were capable, you know, motivated and capable of doing a PhD. And I suspect that we could make some specific allowance in the interview process. I don't know what that would be, and I don't want to foresee that. So certainly we have PhD researchers right now who have a variety of disabilities, and I must admit I don't like that word very much, but they have a variety of situations, and I think they fit in with the rest of the group. I don't think they feel discriminated against. Okay. Ross. I think, right, first of all, on previous successful proposals, I think we share a couple of those, don't we? Isn't that, I thought I saw one or two online. Tracy?
Suzanne, I think there were plans to put them up if they're not up already.
Are they not linked to the apply page? If not, then I'm not sure if we do share any. Let me just check.
Okay, so Ross, so your exploratory area, the issue is you're still going to have to find a supervisor. So you're not going to have to find somebody who's interested in supervising that area. Honestly, we are looking for people to give us crazy new ideas that we weren't expecting. Yeah, we're not just, I mean, many of our proposals are the sorts of things that you would expect. So HCI proposals based in games, machine learning for games content or for controlling game agents. I think that's probably, you know, we're talking about more than half of the EE population in those topics. But we want people to push us. Yes, so push us. Yes, find a person who is close enough so that you can at least have the conversation about that area and talk to them. Yeah, I love it when somebody suggests a crazy idea, but find somebody who's the best person to talk about that idea to. Yeah, and certainly you mentioned grounded theory, and I know that there are some IGGY students working in grounded theory. Yes, Suzanne?
There was Raluca's proposal, which we shared previously, so I just put that in the link. The link in the chat, sorry.
Okay, and Raluca went all the way through the IGGY program and is now a lecturer at Queen Mary. So she's obviously a very successful IGGY researcher. Okay, so let me keep going here. So Tamsin asks about programming skills. I think if you have no evidence on, in terms of your degree or on paper programming skills, we would ask you to demonstrate in some other way. Yes, so you could do, I don't know, you could do, create a portfolio of a few sort of, I don't know, sample games, or, I mean, games would be ideal, but something which shows that you are capable of programming. And some of our training courses require a programming background, so you would have to demonstrate that you have some programming skill. Okay. And of course, I understand that some projects aren't heavily focused on programming, although many of them are, maybe even most of them are. But nevertheless, you would have to be able to kind of talk the language of programming and be in a position to make games using tools such as Unity. Yeah, I don't know if you want to say any more, Jeremy, on that. Is that enough?
And I think you've covered it there, but if you have any doubts, then I'd be quite happy to speak to people individually about that.
Psychology and game, sorry, Fiona. Yeah, okay. So Fiona's asking about applying in the future. What I suggest there, well, first of all, next year is the last year for which we are sure that we have funding on the IGGY program, but there we know already that there are other doctoral programs that will be funded starting in 2024, so there will be other positions around. But there's tons of really good quality courses online. I think I'd be tempted to do a course associated with a well-known university, which is likely to cost more because they're putting their name to it and charging more money for that. But it means that if you have a Stanford University, a Cambridge University, a University of London certificate, then it just carries a bit more weight, sort of thing. But I would do some of those online courses. And the other thing is get involved in game jams. Yeah, so there's a global game jam coming up in January where you can make games with other people and you can learn a lot about programming. And in that way, you'll build a portfolio of the things that you've made yourself and in a team in terms of programming and games. Okay, thanks Francesca for replying to that one.
Peter, given the time, I wonder if people could put them on the sheet and they'll get answered through the day.
Yeah.
Eating into the.
Do you want to show it? Right. Should we stop there? Sorry, I wasn't looking at the time. So thanks very much.